Welcome to the FanQuest Podcast. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
I'm Kyle Rudge.
I'm Lyndon Rachenka.
I'm Christiana Jones.
And that is it. So four members of Team FanQuest here for you today. It's all we could wrangle up at this time. It's really hard to get, like 11 people together at the same time. Not that many people, I guess, but however many people are on our committee, to get them all in the same room is challenging, let alone all in the same time slot, because Kyle and Lyndon are both Skyping in. How you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. I got nothing to complain about other than the stupid wind that is outside. Dear Lord.
It is a rough day. Yes, we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon, and it is the day after the supposed storm that we were supposed to get here in Winnipeg that we did not end up getting.
Nope.
We got the wind part of it, but nothing else. So it's pretty rough.
We got the hurricane force winds. That's that.
Yeah.
And of course, Lyndon is in sunny Calgary, and he doesn't know anything about this. So.
No. I mean, it's a little chilly here, but it's definitely better than
a little chilly.
Anyway. Okay. What I'd like to do is we're going to try to get a little more format-y with the podcast this week and start going through different segments. We'll kind of revisit every week. We'll start by talking about what we have been doing this week as far as prepping for FanQuest. So why don't we start with you, Kyle. What have you been working on this week for FanQuest?
Woohoo! I've been working on the layout for the gaming area and how that's all going to span out. And so I've got my... I did it with graph paper, and then I like cut out.
I thought you were joking about that.
Table. No. It's craft time for Kyle, and and so I'm like placing them. I'm like, yeah, okay. How many computers can we fit on a 6 foot? Okay, good. All right, space that out. You know, gotta get sight lines looking good. And so that was my weekend, and I'll let you know that my 5-year-old girl helped.
Okay.
She loves craft time, so it was great. And the other thing that I am frantically working on that I want to announce the same week as this podcast is I'm going to throw a name at you guys and we can discuss whether or not the name is okay.
Okay.
I'm thinking of calling it Charity Quest, where we go out and find we have to find the charity that we want to go out and support with FanQuest. And so it's like a big quest.
Yeah.
To find the charity.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Does that work? That's,
yeah.
That? Yeah. Oh, did I get an A+, Dan?
No, I don't mark that stuff.
Honorary Krecom diploma.
No, he gives marks out of 5s, Kyle. Come on.
Out of 10, and it just all that matters is it's spelled correctly. So as long as you spell it correctly, I don't care.
And and that you use papyrus font.
Yeah.
That's an inside joke that nobody will get. Okay. Let's talk about the gaming area for a second. So what kind of games are we talking about? What are we going to be playing in these gaming areas?
Well, so far what I've got is we're looking at doing a lot of League of Legends stuff just because we've got both Phylol and Huzzy coming in. I think that would be kind of a draw on wanting to cater to that crowd. But there are some people that like a game, I don't know, it's like Cars and Soccer. I don't know. Is anybody know the name of that game? Inside joke, it's Rocket League, where Lyndon's a big fan. And so we're looking to add that because it would just add a little bit of flavor to it. And so there'll be times where League is playing, times when Rocket League is playing. But the other thing that we really want to do, too, is that like my history with cons, I helped start the Retro Video Game Convention here in Winnipeg. And just the love and the nostalgia that you would see with like when fathers would bring their kids to like an old Nintendo system, be like, all right, well, let's play Blades of Steel and see how well you do, son. And they just trounce their kid because the kid does not understand how this game works. These controls are so clunky. Yes, they are. Get used to it, kid. You know, it's a lot of fun. And so I want to bring some of that back. I want to bring some of that back. So what I want to do is I want to build a tournament, like kind of like a small little retro video game tournament, but you don't know the game that you're going to play. You just know
yes.
that it exists on the Nintendo console. And so we'll have a wheel with a whole bunch of games on the wheel, and you'll spin the wheel, and whatever game it lands on, you're going to play that game against some random person or your kid, and we'll see how well you do.
This is the original NES that we're talking about, or the SNES, or what?
Yeah. For this year, we got to go with the original NES. I mean, if we're, first start, first FanQuest, we got to go first console.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
interesting.
Other than Atari, because that would just be boring.
Yeah, I used to rock the Atari. Yar's Revenge was my game back
in
the day.
We'll do an E.T. Atari speedrun.
That's so frustrating. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And so anybody who comes to FanQuest can enter these tournaments, right? It's open to anybody?
It's open to anybody. And the idea is that we just want to have some participation, some fun, and instead of just walking around and doing shopping, it's like, man, you know what? I got to go play some games.
Yeah.
And you can just like, absolutely, let's sign you up. Let's get you in. Let's do it now. And let's have at her.
And then I think we've also had a few people request some demo space for tabletop games. So I think we're going to do that in your area as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. And so that's the troubling part of the craft. Because with board games, right, you want the space, like you want elbow room, and you know, you don't want loud noises around, because you know if it's a trading type of game, you're going to want to communicate and tell them why they should give you four sheep for your weeks and
yes.
You know, stuff like that.
So we're talking about Catan.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Vigoff. I love that. That's a great game. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So we'll keep we'll get updates from you as we get closer to FanQuest. But sounds like the gaming area is in good hands. And I can't wait to see your craft. I will take a picture of it and post it to our Facebook group because we can see this amazing piece of work that you guys have created.
Only if you make it our Facebook cover photo.
I can do that. Sure. okay, Christiana, let's go to you. What have you been working on this week for FanQuest?
I'm revamping some of the posters, so that's always fun, being elbow deep in Adobe. also, I've been looking at the cosplay contest and kind of how we want to format that, and I definitely want to do something different than what is traditionally done at conventions for cosplay contests, because I find that they are really long and they take up a lot of your time if you're participating in them, and not necessarily super engaging. So
to the audience, you mean?
To the audience, yeah. I mean, it's cool, you get to see the cosplays like go across the stage, but you don't, that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Whereas like in the majority of the time you're going to see them in the hall as you're walking around anyways, so we kind of want to do something different, and we also want to involve social media a lot more with the contest, so that way even if you were only at FanQuest for a couple hours and then you left and a crazy awesome cosplay from a fandom that you really love was there and you missed it, you still get to see it, and you still get to see that there are people in Winnipeg cosplaying from fandoms that you enjoy. So
yeah, sounds good. And so for the poster, we can't really reveal the details because some of the posters we're reworking involve a certain guest that hasn't confirmed with us yet, so we can't announce him or her, which we're all kind of feeling the anticipation for that. But we're basically taking the, like you did that awesome superhero Superman knockoff kind of thing.
Superman knockoff.
Superman with a green cape.
He was like green and blue, so I was thinking more Captain Planet.
There you go, Captain Planet. That's a good one. I forgot about Captain Planet. But anyway, you designed that poster, which is awesome, and so you're now going to incorporate some guest photos and information into it as well, so we can let people know exactly who's coming to FanQuest.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Awesome.
And I'm going to have to confess here, I did a similar thing with one of the awesome posters, and I don't think we talked about this last week, so we had a couple of awesome posters done up by Steve Call, who's an artist, a local artist here, and he offered to do up a couple of posters for us. He created these great, you can see them on our social media and on our website, images. Yeah. One is
spectacular.
It's awesome. One is like two people, like a person and an alien fighting off this horde of aliens. The other one is of a guy. I guess he's being transported through that power glove. What was it you said, Kyle, about the power glove?
No, he's. No, the only way the power glove actually works is if you're dreaming, which is what I think the title of that one is.
Yeah, exactly. And that's because it was such a cool idea when we were kids, but it just never did pan out the way we wanted it to. Do you guys remember the movie The Wizard?
Oh, totally.
Fred
That's
Savage.
Why I got the power glove with Rad Racer. Oh, man, so good.
And it was so impressive when the guy's like, power glove. Like, you don't have one of these things? What is wrong with you? Like, he was so, you know, whatever, that jerky kid. But anyway,
they're so cool. I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but, like, the characters in those posters are based off of our logo.
Yes.
Yeah. Hands in our logo.
Yeah.
I did not see that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like we're building our own little universe.
That's right. It's the FanQuest universe.
We're going to have to have like backstories for them.
Yes,
make our own FanQuest fandom.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. So we have those two awesome posters, and they're great on their own, but I'm also trying to incorporate some guest information into it. So I took a crack at it this weekend, and I have to confess, I don't use the Adobe suite. They just hurt me.
I love
like,
Adobe.
I just feel physical pain whenever I open up Photoshop.
Please say you use Paint.
No, it's a program called Canva, and it's basically designed for dummies. It's an online, and I can only do so much. There's only a certain limitations to what I can do, but it's quite, for simple stuff, and I like to keep things simple anyway, it's quite useful. So I do use it quite a bit for stuff like that. So I got I put one version of it down on the Facebook group, and then you guys fed back to me on it, and I adjusted it a little bit. But yeah, I there's too many decisions to be made in Adobe for me. It's like too many buttons.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, well, you can stick with it.
I will stick with Adobe.
And of course, our posters will be up shortly. As soon as we have these last few guests finalized and our sponsors finalized, we'll start putting those posters up around the city, so you can keep an eye out for those as well. What have you been up to, Lyndon, besides studying law type things?
Oh, it's getting busy here. We're getting into crunch time. But in terms of FanQuest stuff, what I've been doing is a little less tangible than it sounds like everyone else has been doing, because I'm in guest relations. So it's been a lot of looking at planning the things that we need the guests to have on site when they're there, and looking at different ways for fans to come in and meet guests and try and make that as a personal experience as we can. I started reaching out to people that I know, asking if they would be interested in coming to help work with some of the guests. So if anyone listening to this has an interest, please reach out to us. And if we have room, obviously the more help, the better. We're going to start looking for volunteers, I think, for all of our positions soon enough.
Yeah, yeah. And that was Sarah's task. Sarah couldn't make it this week, but her task is to kind of to figure out how many volunteers we're going to need exactly for this event, because we're not quite sure at this moment.
So at this point, this is kind of we'll call this the unofficial start of our volunteer
search.
So if there are interested parties out there, please send us a message.
Or email us at our website. You can email any of us through our website for sure. Yeah, that's something that we do have to get on pretty soon. So you're planning out now. We're also going to come up with a schedule, I guess, for the guests as far as like where they're going to be when and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. So obviously we can't get into all of those details because we don't have all of our guests out in the open yet.
Yes.
We can only say that so many times. But yeah, a lot of it has to do with making sure that all of the guests are, you know, kept busy through the day, but also have enough time to interact with everyone that's coming to the event.
Yeah, for sure. I'll tell you guys what I've been up to. I've been finalizing some sponsorship details. I guess we can announce this now. We have our travel sponsors finalized for FanQuest, and it's kind of exciting that we have these sponsors. What I did was I went to speak to the people at the Holiday Inn Suites, I think it's called. I should figure out what it's called. Officially, but it's basically the Holiday Inn that's right there beside the University of Winnipeg, and I approached them to be our hotel sponsor for this con, because it's right close to the event, and if anybody wants to like have the full con experience and stay in a hotel over the weekend and then just walk back and forth, that's the place to be. But I wanted to make sure that it was a good hotel, because it had in the past it has not been. I remember back in the day it was like the Travelodge, and it was not such a good hotel as a Travelodge. do you remember? Have you ever stayed there, Kyle?
Well, I would always, because I took the bus. The bus station was right there.
Yes.
The Beaver bus line. I would take that out to Selkirk. So, you know, once in a while you go wander in and you're like, yeah.
and actually, that's a good point, because that's all gone now. The bus station is gone, and it's been, the whole building is now the University of Winnipeg, except for kind of the transit station they have there. But yeah, like the hotel is super nice. I went in there to check out the rooms, and they've got some awesome rooms there. They're giving us a special rate. I'll make sure that's up on our website. So anybody who wants to go check out the special rate at the Holiday Inn, just for FanQuest people, if you're staying there for FanQuest, you can get a discount. And it's actually, you walk right through there, and you, well, not that you have to do this in May, but you can almost stay inside the entire time you go to the University of Winnipeg. And there's a Starbucks in there now, and a Garbanzo's Pizza, and all kinds of other stuff. So it's actually quite a bit nicer than it was when it was just the bus station. The bus station was pretty sketchy back in the 90s. So I've been doing that. So that's one travel sponsor. The other one I can announce as well is Marlin Travel. All of our travel comedy, all of our like arrangements, the flights and everything we're doing for our guests is all going to go through Marlin. And they've put together some really cool packages for us. And they're also donating a $500 gift card to us to give away as a prize. So that's going to be one of the prizes we're going to give away somehow through FanQuest, maybe at the social, but maybe somewhere else if we decide there's a better place for it. So we're really grateful to Marlin Travel for that, and really, really excited that they're going to be partnering with us to bring in all the guests. So those are the two travel sponsors we have so far.
Jeez, you haven't been busy at all. You haven't been doing any work this week.
And then there's something else I've been doing. What else have I been doing? What did I say? Oh, the printing order. So I'm also working with a print shop, another a sponsor of FanQuest, Instant Imprints Downtown. We're working with them to print everything we need, posters, T-shirts, merchandise, banners, signage, everything we need for FanQuest. So I'm putting together, I guess, kind of an order for them, a preliminary order, and getting a quote back and figuring out where we can go from there. So that's another. So those are the three main sponsors we have now. It's Marlin Travel, Holiday Inn, and Instant Imprints, and we're very excited to have them on board.
So I guess while we are talking about the printing and the quotes, we can talk about, we are going to be having a very limited edition, a limited number of certain things in terms of merchandise.
Oh yeah, and I mean, that'd be a great idea, a great way to get feedback for people as well if they're interested in specific things, because we had a conversation about it last week during our meeting. And I know that we don't want to overstretch and put a bunch of stuff out for sale and not sell it. But what we had initially thought was we'd have some posters for sale, some nice posters. So not the ones with all the logos on it, but the actual like Steve's original work that he's just done, like just that. And it says FanQuest on it.
Stuff.
And then he'll sign it. I talked to him about it. He says he's happy to sign it. And all the money we make from those posters, half of it goes to him as well. So we're also paying the artists for their work. So there's those as well. There's also some t-shirts available. Like all of our Kickstarter donors get a t-shirt as part of their, not all of them, but the ones who chose that package get a t-shirt. And so we'll have extra t-shirts that we can sell as well. And we're also talking about selling buttons, and that's kind of it at this point, as far as merchandise. So if anybody else has any idea of other stuff that they want us to sell, let us know. I don't know. What were you thinking of, Lyndon? What do you want us to sell?
No. I just meant that we given that we're not run, we don't have an infinite press, or we don't have an infinite print, that we're only going to have limited amounts of whatever's left after we've distributed to our Kickstarter.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And we don't want to, like I said, we don't want to like have a bunch of stuff in a warehouse somewhere. So, I mean, if there is a demand for it, certainly we can look at making more of it later on. But as far as at the event itself, there's going to be a very limited amount of stuff. And the cool thing about the posters is that it's going to give, like, because when we have people, we, you know, as we say, the autographs will be free from our guests, but they want you to bring something appropriate for them to autograph and not just like a handkerchief or something like that. So they can use the posters. If they want to get everyone's autograph on one of our posters, that would be great. You know, so that's one option for people coming to the con.
I never understood why people still make mouse pads. Can someone here justify that for me? I never understood that.
That's a good question.
Some gamers still prefer mouse pads.
Oh, okay.
But it's certainly not like a big ticket item.
The whole point of a mouse pad was because of the wheel, right, on the bottom of the mouse. Yeah. So now they're all laser mices.
But sometimes though, with laser type stuff, like you can get like a pet hair can get caught underneath. I mean, I guess it could happen with your mouse pad too. But the idea is that you don't get all the gunk from your table, from your desk, onto the mouse.
Okay, interesting. So, and Instant Imprints will also have a booth at FanQuest. They're going to be printing, right now it's going to be custom mugs and beer steins. And so the goal here, I'm hoping that we can have like people go from taking a selfie with a guest to going and having that put on a mug for themselves if they want. But they can do that. They can take a photo off your cell phone and put it on a mug. So we're hoping to get that kind of stuff going. He's also looking at bringing his T-shirt maker, so he might be able to make T-shirts as well at the con. So, but they're going to be printing out stuff for people and selling stuff for that for those purposes. I think that's it. What else were people working on that we haven't talked about? Who's not here that we can talk about?
I think we kind of covered all the things that we can talk about.
Yeah.
Well, no, you can talk about the how do you say that word again? Is it bazaar?
That's exactly what it is, bazaar.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that's right, the bazaar.
I saw I was driving through Winnipeg and I saw there's like some Ukrainian Catholic church that said like on Sunday they were having a bazaar. It was like on their big church side, and in my head I read it as bazaar. I'm like, oh no.
I've corrupted you.
Allison has been working on the floor plan.
Yes. And I want to, I think we have about 8 tables left to sell as far as vendor tables go. And I'm confident we're going to sell. We have a lot of interest. People are just kind of not be able to pay right away. But I want to release the floor plan. I think maybe we can release it. So the thing is, I found this cool plugin on WordPress for the website that allows me to create a little specific area on an image, and then when you click on it, it opens it up into something. So it's exactly what we need for this. So you can click on a certain square and get more information about the vendor. Ooh. But it's going to take a lot of time for me to do it, and I don't want to do it more than once. So I want to have the floor plan as complete as possible before I do that. But there's nothing saying I can't just put the image on the website as it is, right?
I mean, I guess you can.
If you want
to. Everyone's confirmed. So I'll do that. I'm going to put that up on the website. That's the current floor plan as it stands, so people can get a sense of what it's going to look like at FanQuest when they come. I want to also spend some time each week talking about our fandoms and what we're doing to celebrate our fandoms. And I'll start with Christiana this week because you went and saw a certain movie on the weekend. What did you see?
I went and saw Logan on opening night. And I haven't emotionally recovered from the movie yet.
Okay.
Wait, is there going to be any spoilers here?
No, I'm not going to spoil anything. I will say that I really appreciate the movie because, well, obviously I'm a giant Wolverine fan. And I like most of the X-Men movies. They're fun. They're entertaining. I don't have super high standards for movies, if I'm being really honest with myself. As long as they're entertaining, I'm like, okay. But this is one that actually really captured his character for me. I find that a lot of the X-Men movies, he's just kind of like, I don't want to say excessively gruff, but like that's just kind of like, that's it. He seems very flat in a lot of the X-Men movies where it's like, okay, gruff Wolverine over here doing gruff Wolverine things. Whereas this one really felt like he was actually a person. He was actually a character. And I think they did a much better job grasping all of the different aspects that make Wolverine Wolverine. So it was a really, really good watch. And I sincerely, sincerely hope that they don't make any other Wolverine movies after this.
Well, he's already said he's done, right?
Yeah,
he's
said done. That's what I mean. Like,
he won't make any more.
He won't make any more, but I hope they don't.
They might
make any
team
more.
Up with Deadpool.
And see, I don't.
That rumor of the Deadpool.
I don't want that just because this movie was such a phenomenal send off for Hugh Jackman, who in my brain has now become Wolverine.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he has been now for 17 years. It's funny, the very first X-Men film was on TV this weekend. And if you watch that, it's so weird to see him play Wolverine way back then. He really didn't have a handle on the character.
He also wasn't as buff. It's like kind of funny because like as you're watching the movies, it goes from like, yeah, I mean, he looks pretty tough. And then to like just being uncomfortably vascular and ripped.
Yeah. In the new one. Yeah. The other thing that's funny about that is that it almost wasn't him playing Wolverine. It was almost Dougray Scott. He was a guy, he was originally set to play Wolverine, but there was a scheduling conflict with Mission Impossible 2, I think it was 2, in which or 3, one of those ones that he plays the villain in, I think it must have been 2. So he couldn't shoot it, so then they gave it to Hugh Jackman, he became the villain, the completely forgettable villain in Mission Impossible 2, and nobody knows who Dougray Scott is, and everyone knows who Hugh Jackman is, and that was Hugh Jackman's first big role.
Like, I'm so glad for that, too, because Hugh Jackman, like, other than being taller than Wolverine, like that he's
short.
Wolverine, the actual comic book character is quite short.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman is obviously not short. Other than that, he looks just like him, and I don't know. I feel like he is the perfect person to play Wolverine. Yeah. And also,
but he's not Canadian, so there is a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Neither is Dougray Scott, to be fair. I think they're both Australian, actually. I think Dougray Scott is. But anyway, yeah, no, I agree. I don't want to see anybody else play him. It's really tough. I'm not a fan of, like, studios rebooting anything. If I had my way, they never would have made the second run of X-Men movies. Although
Point Break. We didn't need a new Point Break.
We didn't. No, you're right. We didn't need a new Point Break. We didn't even need a new, what's the one with Schwarzenegger? Total Recall.
Kindergarten Cop.
That's right.
We do need a new Kindergarten Cop.
They made a new Kindergarten Cop. They made Dolph Lundgren in the role. Direct to video. Anyway, but yeah, no, it's funny because I also watched the latest X-Men Apocalypse. It was on Netflix this weekend, so I watched it.
I did too. Yeah. It's not
great.
It's not my favorite.
It's not awful. It's like everyone said it was horrible. I didn't think it was horrible, but the best scene in the movie, and this is not a spoiler because it's widely known, is that Wolverine is in the movie, is the one with Wolverine, I think. It was one of the best scenes. And that guy, he just brings so much to the film. That's one of the reasons why Days of Future Past is probably the best of those movies.
Yeah.
He's in it. It's all Hugh Jackman. Like he brings so much to the film when he plays Wolverine, and I cannot imagine anyone else doing that. But
no, I couldn't.
They've recast another Han Solo. They've got another guy playing Han Solo in the movie.
I mean, if they can recast Joker after Heath Ledger, they can recast Wolverine.
They can, but should they?
Should they? Yeah, that's the question.
Oh yeah, like I'm not whether or not they should. They will.
I know. It hurts me. I hope they don't. Part of me, it was really strange. Like I was kind of hoping that like First Class in those movies would fail because then I was like, then Fox might give up the rights. and give it back to Marvel, and then Marvel could take over. But then they were actually quite successful, and it was kind of like bittersweet for me, because I'm like, oh, I mean, they are actually pretty good the way they are now, but I would also love to see it integrated into the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I would love to. Like, I'm so excited to see Spider-Man Homecoming. That's his full integration into the Marvel Universe. Yeah. But and for me, the first class films, this new generation, I actually was not a fan of first class. I'm a diehard X-Men fan from way back. It was one of my favorite comics growing up, and I didn't like the way they messed with the timeline with bringing. It seems like, oh, they're running out of superheroes, so let's bring in Havoc, who was not introduced till way after Cyclops was introduced. Yeah. You know, and they flipped that around, and they had who else was in there? Banshee was in there, I think.
Banshee was in there.
I didn't like him being in there as well, because this is supposed to be the first generation of X-Men, and so all this other stuff. Days of Future Past was much better, because it had, again, Hugh Jackman, and also the guy who plays Quicksilver is awesome. I love that actor, and I love
Evan Peters. I love him so much.
And he was very good in the Apocalypse one as well.
He was, his scene made Apocalypse for sure.
Yeah, that one and the Wolverine, one of the two great scenes in that movie. But it's like, I never had that much riding on them anyway. You know, it was never about.
That's what I mean. Like, when I say I have low expectations for movies, it's just because at the end of the day, a movie is meant to entertain. And if I'm entertained, then I'm willing to forego a lot of things that a lot of people nitpick, because I'm like, you know what? Did I have fun watching this? Then it, like I have the super unpopular opinion of not absolutely hating Suicide Squad. I don't think it's a good movie. I don't think it's a good movie at all. But I watched it.
Oscar-winning movie.
I know, right? But no, I watched it, and I was like interested enough to continue watching it. So I was like, okay. Like, I don't feel like I wasted 2 hours of my life. I don't think I spent 2 hours of my life very well. But I don't think it was a steaming pile of garbage as people tend to describe it. So
what were you gonna say, Lyndon?
No, I was gonna say it's an Oscar-winning movie, and we all have had our own internal discussion about Suicide Squad for reasons that will probably become apparent in the upcoming week.
You know, I can announce that now. Do we want to announce that now?
If you want to, if we're good.
Well, yeah, I just don't have anything up on the website. That's my issue, is that I've been trying to get stuff up on the website first.
Do we have confirmation?
Yes, we have confirmation that we can announce
this
guest.
Then we can talk about it. The podcast won't be up for a couple of days. We can get it on the website, maybe. If not, doesn't matter.
We'll actually, right. I can probably get this up on the website before the podcast is released.
All right.
Hold on. I'm trying to get his full thing up here.
Okay. While you're doing that, so you went and saw the movie this past weekend. Did you get to see the Deadpool trailer?
I did. And it actually caught me off guard, because I didn't know about the Deadpool trailer before it happened.
We were all over that on our
So Facebook, like, page. The lights went down, and then I was like, oh my god, Logan, like, already getting emotional, and then all of a sudden, like, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I was like, wait, what? And so I was like, okay, and then I watched it, and like, the fact that there was a Logan poster in the background, and like, the whole theater was laughing. It was actually, I'm glad I didn't know about it beforehand, because it was such a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Now, did you notice the Firefly posters in the background also?
No, I didn't. That's awesome.
So that trailer is online. You can watch it on YouTube. But if you keep an eye on the background, there are actual, like, Joss Whedon Firefly posters in the back that you can spot.
That's pretty cool.
Speaking of Firefly.
Oh boy.
Nathan Fillion's in Winnipeg.
Right now?
Oh. What?
Uh-huh. He posted on Instagram talking about Canada and how it's cold, and he posted a photo from outside his hotel window, which was Fort Garry. You look across Broadway.
What?
Why is he here? Is he here for the movie they're shooting?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Maybe he just really likes it here. Maybe he's like, you know what? Winnipeg's cool. I can hang out here.
He should come back in May. I think that would be awesome for him to come
Kyle,
back.
Yeah, Kyle, your job now is to go track him down.
Oh, my goodness.
Go stalk him.
I'll put my fangirl hat on, and I'm good to go.
Getting back to, okay, so that's your admission now. Getting back to the Deadpool thing, I think that takes, like, one of the things about movie trailers these days is that you're never surprised in the theater anymore, because most of the time we've seen the trailers online.
There's, like,
stuff.
Trailers to trailers.
Yeah, but
trailers,
but it's, like, everything I see has already been released online, so I'm never surprised by any trailers. But that sounds like a great experience, being surprised by a trailer, because you're not expecting it. Was it after, like, the normal trailers?
It was after the normal trailers. So, like, you know how the lights just dim during the trailers?
Yeah.
And then they actually go out for when the movie starts.
Yeah.
So they actually went out, and the screen was black, and it faded in. So you're like, okay, movie starting. But it was the Deadpool trailer.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It was, it was great.
And for those who actually didn't take the time to read the fine print at the end of the trailer, that is Deadpool telling the story of the old man in the sea, which is quite hilarious.
Great book. Read it last year.
If you read it, well, I mean, I think we've all read it at some point in high school. I think that's required reading for a lot of people. But it's like the way he tells it is pretty funny if you want to actually read all that fine print at the very end. So here's who we're going to announce for our guest as opposed to, thank you very much for that, Christiana, that
no
review.
Problem.
I think we're all going to go see Logan at some point. Kyle, you said you're going to see it tonight?
Yeah, I'm on it tonight.
All right. So you can weigh in. Follow Kyle on all the Facebook and
social medias
to get his opinion. But I'm sure it's awesome, like everyone else is saying. Our next guest we're going to announce for FanQuest is Steve Kostansky. And why he's related to what we were talking about before was because he actually did makeup and special effects on Suicide Squad. So this guy is a former Winnipegger who now lives in Toronto, and he works on lots of big-budget Hollywood movies there. If you go to his IMDb page, you can see everything he's worked on as far as being a special effects and makeup guy. But he also has started his own film studio as well that produces kind of lower-budget horror and sci-fi movies and kind of genre cult movies, which are kind of cool. So he's going to be coming to FanQuest, and we're very, very excited to have him.
Didn't he work on Hannibal?
He did also work on Hannibal, yes,
so
absolutely.
He has potentially touched Mads Mikkelsen's face,
yes, right.
Which is the most important thing to me.
Is that the most important part of Mads Mikkelsen is his face?
No, just all of that whole, like, I'm going to be like, hey, nice to meet you. Good job winning an Oscar. So is Mads Mikkelsen nice?
I wonder how much, and have you guys seen Hannibal?
Obviously.
No, Kyle and
no, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm a no on that one. Not my
God.
Type of movie.
Shame.
It's for a TV show, it was very, very gory. So I'm wondering how much hand he had in the special effects as far as that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's also just a really pretty TV show. Like, yeah, it sounds
very,
kind
very,
of strange.
Very stylistic,
like,
and artsy.
The sets and, like, everything is just pretty.
Yeah.
It's just pretty.
So there you go. So anyway, he is going to be coming to FanQuest.
Question about him.
Yeah.
Question about him. Has he, have you guys come to an agreement about the things that he's coming to do at FanQuest?
No, it's open. He just wants to be here and be a part of the con, so we can have him do whatever, I guess, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody.
As we've talked about this, I would really like to see him do some makeup tutorials or workshops.
That'd be very cool. Mm. I skipped over this, but he is a part of that Oscar award winning makeup team from Suicide Squad, and I'm interested to know what it was. What do you guys think? What was it about Suicide Squad that won at the Oscar? What was the groundbreaking makeup in that film?
It was the reptile guy. I don't even know his name. That's
Croc, Killer Croc.
Killer Croc.
Killer Croc was apparently.
It was totally Harley.
Yeah, it was Harley Quinn. One red eye, one blue eye. It's groundbreaking. Groundbreaking.
Well, maybe the different take on the Joker. Maybe that was.
No, I think it was a lot of it was Killer Croc because that was a lot of practical effects, which was like looking at each and every single individual little scale. Like that is actually an insanely intense amount of work for any kind of makeup. So I think that is probably has a lot to do with it. And then the Joker, like, they had to put those tattoos on him.
Yeah. I wonder how much of that was Jared Leto. I guess he could probably answer these questions for us. How much of that was Jared Leto's influence on the character, and how much of it was their art direction and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
So these are the questions you can ask Steve Kostansky, who's coming to FanQuest May 26th through 28th. And he's going to be awesome. So much knowledge and so many awesome experiences. Again, it's all about the storytelling, right? So what kind of great stories can they tell us about putting makeup on Mads Mikkelsen and Jared Leto?
For the record, he is not the guest that we have been.
No, that's true. Not to diminish anything. We're still excited about him having, but we do have at least one more big guest that is probably going to be the biggest guest of the con that we cannot announce yet because we have to wait for confirmation. But Steve is coming in. We're very excited. And I just got an email from him that said he'll send his bio and pictures tonight, so I'll get that stuff tonight on the website, so that'll be it'll be up before the podcast is, for sure. What else? How you guys doing?
Kyle, what's your fandom been like? My week has been spent trying to decide if I can spend the money to buy a Switch or not.
Oh, see, I've already determined that I won't. I think I got burned with the Wii U, and I'm still feeling a little sour.
Exact same way.
And I've looked at, so I've got a buddy that bought Breath of the Wild for his Wii U, and he's like, really, the differences are so minimal, and so I'm just gonna borrow it from him at that point. I don't have enough money. I got two kids. I can't buy another system anymore.
I didn't realize it was gonna be ported to Wii U. Is that when is that happening?
Well, it was originally a Wii U game.
Oh.
The reason probably that Kyle and I bought our Wii U was because this game was announced like in 2014, and it's been delayed so many times that eventually they started working on the next console, and they're like, okay, well, we have a full Zelda game here. Let's just launch it like they did with Twilight Princess.
Okay.
And actually, while we're talking about Twilight Princess, I was reading right before we started doing this podcast that the Switch is actually, if it hasn't done it yet, it's on track to outsell the Wii, the original Wii.
Hmm.
And that Breath of the Wild is going to be the best-selling console game since Super Mario 64.
Now, what do you think that is? Why is this so much more popular than the Wii U?
Didn't the Wii U release like at the exact same time as the PS4?
Yeah, it was pretty close.
Or the Xbox One or something like that? I feel like there isn't a lot of competition right now as part of it.
No, it was PS3.
It was PS3.
No, it was beforehand. Sorry, Kyle, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say it's their marketing. I mean, they have some exclusivity with certain things. Like if you want to play a Zelda game, you can't get it on Steam. You can't get it anywhere else. Like there's no shared, you know, reason. So they have certain things that's like, we're not going to share these. And if you want to play them, then you need to invest. And I think that the hype that they do, like it's not like a new, you know, Final Fantasy game every single year or things like that. But it's a
When was the last Zelda game?
We didn't get one on Wii U.
Skyward Sword, and I think it was 2011.
No, but there was no Wii U Zelda game at all. So that was
they remastered Wind Waker and they remastered Twilight Princess, but there was no original Zelda game.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I have Twilight Princess and I have Wind Waker on Wii U. They're both wonderful games, and I love them both, but they're not a new Zelda game. And I'm actually really concerned because I'm coming into my last month of classes right now, and my Breath of the Wild should be delivered by Amazon like this afternoon. I don't really know what I'm going to do.
Good luck.
Because I'm looking at like a 100-hour game, and I've got, you know, exams that are going to determine a lot of job opportunities for me going forward.
I've got a great solution for you, Lyndon. Mail me the game, and I'll hold it for you.
Of course.
During this time, like I would do that as a sacrifice.
You do that.
It's very noble of you.
And I mean, I had to make that decision kind of at the beginning of last week before the game came out because I order my games off of Amazon, and Amazon, I'm an Amazon Prime member, they give 20% off of pre-ordered game prices. So I didn't pay $80 for the game; I paid like $60-something for the game. But the decision came down to, okay, I'm going to have this game sitting on my shelf, like staring at me as I'm trying to get work done. And how am I going to deal with that?
I think part of the other thing with the Switch is, do you think maybe it's the gimmick again? So we had the Wii U the original Wii was the motion control Wiimote, right? That was a whole new thing. We could play Wii Sports. It was a huge title. Everyone loved Wii Sports, bowling and tennis and all that stuff. And now we have, now they didn't really do anything very innovative with the Wii U. It just had that crappy touchscreen. And I remember playing.
It's essentially the Switch minus the main console part.
But it's the Switch. The Switch is better. It's like, it's almost like they shouldn't have released the Wii U. They should have waited till the Switch was ready.
Yeah.
Because I remember I bought the Wii U, like it was a launch. I bought it right away. I was so excited about a new system. I just got it, and I bought like Zombie U or whatever was the game that came out with that. It was a zombie game.
Zombie U was one.
Right? Yeah. So, but it was so awkward. They actually built the game around the fact that you have to hold this this really ugly, awkward controller. This is your scanner, and you scan things, and it's like, it was a fun game, but it was just dumb as far as the controller was concerned.
One of the issues with the Wii U, it didn't have very many launch titles.
It didn't.
Exclusive launch titles, and the Nintendo exclusives were very spaced out.
Neither does the Switch. Like if you look at any of the other games that the Switch has launch titles, like right now, the only one worth buying is Zelda. The rest of them are absolute junk.
What about the one with the punching one?
And they're only scheduled to release games. They're only scheduled to release games like one a month. Like there's not going to be that many games. Like you're going to be waiting a while for that.
Yeah. But I mean, Zelda is getting like universal acclaim right now. And it's apparently like a 100-hour game that you can just keep playing. My concern with it is I've heard, and I can't confirm any of this, but battery life for the Switch when it's portable isn't great when you're playing Zelda because the Zelda game is so power hungry.
That's true.
I can't confirm that, but from what I've heard, the handheld Switch playing Zelda will only run for 3 or so hours, and that's just not enough for something like that.
Interesting. Well, you tell us how the game is once you started playing it. Before we wrap up here, I just got an email from a friend who works in the media who sent along a casting announcement for Star Trek Discovery. So this is the new Star Trek series that's going to be launching pretty soon. It's only going to be available on the CBS app, I think. Is that how it works? The streaming service? Anybody know that?
It's not going to cable air.
It's going to be on just because CBS owns it. So anyway, the guy who one of the casting announcements they made, Jason Isaacs, who I actually love, he is playing Captain Lorca. And if you guys don't know Jason Isaacs' name, you'll recognize his face. He plays the father Malfoy, who's Malfoy's dad in
Lucius
Malfoy in Harry Potter. So, and he's been in a ton of other stuff. So very excited to hear that. He's a great actor, and there's another person that we can try and get to come to FanQuest. I think he's got ties to two major fandoms. That's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to get people with ties to different fandoms to help to bring in as many as possible. So. We're excited to try and do that stuff. I say excited a lot. I'm doing that a lot.
Today. Well, Dan's the challenge a very with excited that. Guy.
The challenge with him though is if you bring Lucius Malfoy, like he played that role so well that I'd almost want to hit him.
Yeah, I was gonna say I feel like I'd be so uncomfortable around him. I'd be like, "Why are you so mean?"
It's just a character, like guys.
Get him to do the voice.
Oh. Well, we'll get him, and then we can get what's his face that plays. We were talking about his what's his name, Malfoy, the kid. Tom Felton. Yeah. Who is on The Flash now.
I happen to know somebody whose baby looks like Dobby. We could work something out.
I hope you haven't told them that. That's awful.
Like that's no, like a human baby? That's so mean.
Dobby. Oh, man, that's rough. All right, I think it's going to wrap it up for this episode. I don't know how to wrap this up. How do I wrap this up?
Can we use the same wrap-up that we used last week?
Where just that's it, it's over?
No, you're like, that's it. That's it. And you just cut it off. I'm like, that is our sign off going
no,
forward.
It was, it's a long story. I don't want to get into it. if anybody, I should have thought this out ahead of time. Okay, let me think about this for a sec.
That's it.
No, I want to talk about
Helping you find your fandom. That's it for FanQuest.
We're fine. Yeah. Yes, that's going
to
do it. You can,
something to that effect. I don't know.
You can reach us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at FanQuestCon is our handle on all three of those platforms. Also, of course, go to our website, FanQuestCon.com, to find out who our guests are, what's happening at FanQuest. I'll be putting up the floor plan very shortly, as well as a bio and pictures of our newest announced guest. And let us know if you have any questions or comments, and we'll be sure to include them. I think we're going to get some listener interaction going on this podcast pretty soon. That's going to do it for this episode. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
I'm Kyle Rudge.
I'm Christiana Jones.
I'm Linda Rodchenko.
That's it. We're
That's
done.
It. That's it.
That's it.